Scotty on US 99.
This was a fun conversation. I got to chat with newcomer Peyton Smith today, and this is ahead of his first headlining tour, his stop here in Chicago. We're recording this a couple days before the show at Carol's Pub, and he's a cool guy, man. Louisiana guy, super nice, very polite, young dude that just loves music, and you can tell it in his new EP because he's got depth and he's got rock and roll songs. Honestly, I listened to the music before I looked up things about him to see if I could pick out the influences, and I like to do that ahead of time. He has these sounds of the people that he said he looked up to, and it was cool to hear. He's got ballads. He's got this really cool unplugged acoustic version of Yesterday's Smoke that he has on his EP that shows that he has some range in a way that you really only hear from some of the biggest artists out right now. All those vague statements just to say he's a good dude and his EP is really good. It's called Up From Here. So without giving any more away, check it out. This is Peyton Smith.
Where are you right now?
Man, right now I'm at home in Nashville, just chilling, taking a little bit of time. We just got off the road Saturday, so just relaxing, man.
Now, I'd say it's early in your career, but when you start as young as you do, when you're in Nashville, it's been 10 years and people just hearing about you. You're like, yeah. Just started yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Over the next thing. Well, what does on the road look like for you right now?
Man, right now, we're playing our first run of headline shows for the first time. So we started that not this past weekend, but the weekend before. And so that's been really cool, just for the first time getting out in front of fans, and they're showing up, they're buying tickets to see us for the first time. So that is like super cool. Never had that happen. So
yeah, is that weird for you that people are buying tickets now and not, hey, we're at this bar, we're playing, and this guy is pretty good who's happened to be playing, but now they're specifically there for you? That's gotta feel cool.
Dude, it's surreal, man, because they're spending like their hard-earned money to be there and take time out of their night to come be there and listen to us play music. Even if they just know one song, like they're here to hear that song.
Your EP, Up From Here, it's really good. What I love about it, and I'll get more into it in a second, but what I love about it is it feels like I'm at one of your shows. Through everyone, it feels like there's a journey going on and you're taking us through some highs and lows. And there's three specific artists that come to mind when I listen to it. I listened to it before I read up on any of it, or any of you, and it fell dead on at that point. But let's talk about your Louisiana guy, right?
Yeah, man. Grew up about an hour south of New Orleans.
Man, music is just infused in your blood at that point if you're close enough to New Orleans, right?
Oh, yeah. Dude, I'm telling you, there's something about those river towns. You just follow the Mississippi River down. There's something in the... It sounds cliche to say there's something in the water, but I definitely think there is.
Well, I mean, we wouldn't have country music if we didn't have the people coming down the water for those river talents, which works out for you very nicely because I'm sure it was around you all the time. So what started, because you started real early getting into music, which I think is so interesting because what got me into music originally was hanging out with my grandpa, listening to jazz and blues and big band and swing music, not knowing what I was really listening to, but knowing it was something special. So when I was 5 years old, I was getting into it that way. What got you into it?
Man, so like the earliest memory I have of music was my great-grandma and my great-grandpa playing like gospel music when I was like 3 years old. They took me to like a Gaither vocal band show and I was like
three. That Louisiana Southern gospel,
dude, that is my first like memory. And then the other first memory I have is like watching Pure Country, the movie that George Strait was in. Mm-hmm. And then my mom having that soundtrack on CD, and I remember she would play that CD like all the time. So those are like the first two like memories of music. And then I remember like watching Keith Urban play guitar when I was six and going like, okay, I whatever that is, that looks fun. I want to do that. That looks like a blast.
Yeah. Well, and I was watching just some of your Instagrams too, and you're up there shredded. You're doing a show like Keith Urban. It looks like you went and said, Keith Urban's got a good formula going. I'm going to do something like that. And you hear it even in the song In That Case, right, on your EP. For me, that stood out. That you could have handed that over to Keith Urban and he would have shredded it just the same way you did. And it sounds like you perform it the same way.
Dude, well, He's definitely a huge influence. I mean, there's, I think the way that he just puts so much passion into his performance, I think is what stood out to me as a young kid, was like, he cared about connecting at a live show. And that really, I don't know, it did a number on me. Like, I was like, all right, I want to do that. I want to connect that way. I want to make somebody feel that way that he just made me feel. So
yeah, it worked.
It worked, and in that case, like, I do feel like that's definitely got a little bit of that Keith vibe in it. And, it's a blast to play live. It's definitely got that live to it,
That's what your music sounds like. It sounds like you almost write these songs to play them live and for people in front of people. And Keith Urban's in my top three of any genre, all time live performers for sure. And it's because of the same reason you said, the way he puts everything out there, every single performance. Have you met Keith yet?
Man, I met Keith when I was like 17. So I was like 3 years into town.
Okay.
Met
what was that meeting like? Where was that? Was that, you weren't at a bar yet, right? You were 17.
Oh yeah, I was not at a bar. I was backstage at the Opry here in Nashville, and we just had a couple of mutual friends, and I'd been wanting to meet him, and so finally kind of all the right paths crossed, and we ended up meeting. And
what I'll say to him,
oh my gosh, I was just a little, definitely starstruck, obviously meeting somebody like that.
Did you play it inside your head for a long time, like, if I meet Keith Urban, this is what I'm going to say? And if you did that come out?
No, it definitely didn't. It definitely didn't come out. I tell you, he just asked me where I was from, and I was like, I grew up in Homer, Louisiana. He's like, oh yeah, I know where Homer is, And I was like,
oh, that's good.
But what stood out to me was, man, he made you feel like you were the only one in the room, and he really cared. Like, he really cared about talking to me. So that meant the world,
Is that the only time you've met him, or have you since then?
That's the only time I've met him. I haven't since then.
Have you? And did you guys get to play at all, or did you just chatted that day?
We just chatted that day. Okay. He shared a couple of songs and a couple of videos on like his social media of stuff over the past couple of years. But
okay,
see him since then.
He knows who you are. He's aware of you, right?
I think so. I'm not sure. It seems like it.
Let's go back to you as a kid, and we talk a lot about Keith Urban. And the similarities, the guitar is obviously one of them. You started real early. When did you start with guitar?
I started playing when I was about 9 years old. My dad had a guitar. Yeah, it was little. My dad knew like three chords, and he taught me three chords. And then when I started learning other songs, I realized that there was a few more than three chords. So
yeah,
started trying to learn like all the minor chords and kind of just...
And how did you learn that? You learned that from your dad? Did you do it on your own? What I mean, because that's a little bit before YouTube was there, so it's a little bit less. The information was right in front of you.
Yeah, I took guitar lessons for like a couple of months, and after about a couple of months, I just started picking up on the chords really quickly, and then started just listening to albums very like intently and learning riffs kind of just from.
So you could do it by ear. You could listen to that and you can go ahead and figure out how to play it.
Yeah. It would take a long time for me to I would keep listening to riffs over and over and over again and practicing in my room. But it took
what
a lot.
What songs were you listening to?
At that point, oh my gosh, man, it was a lot of the Carolina album, Eric Church, ton of that. The Wide Open album, Jason Aldean.
Okay, yeah.
And then my dad was like a huge Def Leppard fan. So
I was going to ask, where's the rock and roll? Because you hear it in your EP, you hear it in your music, you hear it in everything. You hear the rock and roll influences that have those 80s influences in there. So I was wondering where that came from. That was mostly from your dad, huh?
Yeah, my dad was like, it was all like hair metal. He loved hair metal. And so there was a lot of Def Leppard. And then there was also kind of some of the grunge stuff that he would play for when I was younger too. And so, I've always loved all of that stuff. So when we kind of play live, we have like three guitars on stage. So that's kind of my nod to like some of the rock and roll stuff that I grew up on.
Cool. That's fun. How did you get from Louisiana to the scene in Nashville?
Man, so it's kind of a long story, but when I was 14, came up here on a family vacation, and when I was like 14, all I wanted to do was just play guitar all the time.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
In front of people, and I loved it, and I love playing for people. And
that's the teenage hyper focus. Like, my son's just, I want to play video games all the time. You find something you enjoy, you're good at, and you're hyper focus on it, which is, as adults, I think why it's so hard to learn a new skill, because you have so many distractions going on. So you were hyper focused on music at the age of 14 at that point. What was the goal at that point? Was it to play the live shows that you saw? Was it to put out albums? What's your perspective about your future in music at that point?
At that point, I wanted to do the whole thing. I thought, like, I was like, all right, I'm going to play. At some point, I'm going to play live shows. I want to play arenas. I want to put out an album. And, you know, I kind of had it all mapped out in my head at like 14, you know, just dreaming big, really.
Cool. Okay. So you got that family vacation in Nashville.
Yeah. So I came up here and was playing in the lobby of the hotel. And the concierge, of all people, was like, came into my parents, was like, hey, you know, is this some original stuff that he's writing? And it's like, yeah, you know, he loves it, so we want to support him in whatever he wants to do. And so the concierge was like, well, let me make some phone calls and see if, you know, I can get him to meet a couple of people here in Nashville. And the next day ended up meeting Buddy Cannon, who produces all the Kenny Chesney stuff, and then met with a few labels that next day too, somehow. Like,
it was a bit. It moves quick, right? Once it moves quick.
And it was a crazy. That was kind of the beginning of just making trips to Nashville. And after that trip, like, the producer kind of took me under his wing and was teaching me a lot about songwriting. And so it was like,
that could be a scary place too for a young, because you're still 14 at that point. You're young at that point.
Yeah.
So that stuff, because sometimes what do they call it in relation to the love bombing, you know, where it's,
oh, yeah,
they come right at the beginning. Oh, it's almost like a music industry love bombing, because they're like, oh, could this be the next kid that we want to wrap our arms around? And they throw everything at you. And then sometimes it's just gone out of nowhere and you have no idea. So you get really excited at that point. And your parents, were they all in, or were they like, let's be a little cautious? Like, what was the vibe of, you know, moving forward?
They were both, man. They were like super excited because they wanted to see their, you know, son do something that he loved. But at the same time, they're like, we're not sure that we're all ready for all this yet, you know. Right. But you know, over the course of that next year, they would drive me and my three brothers up to Nashville for a week every month, so I could learn how to write and just kind of get involved, like, in the industry.
When you drove up to Nashville, were you connecting with those people you connected last time with? Because you weren't just driving up and being like, hey, who wants to write? You had a little connection there, right?
I had some connections. Yeah, I had some connections there. And people would, you know, my producer would set up writes in town. A lot of those people I still write with today, but it was like three or four core people that, like, he trusted them to write with me, and that would kind of help me learn how to write a song.
Have you written with any, you know, bucket list people so far yet, like, or just people that you go, I can't believe I'm in the same room writing with this person?
Yeah. Man, all the time. I feel like there's one of my favorite writers of all time is a guy named Casey Beathard, and Casey just wrote all of that Eric Church stuff, and I'm a massive Eric Church fan. And so I've gotten to write a few songs with Casey and get a few cuts with Casey, and it's been so cool. So I still pinch myself every time I'm in the room with Casey, just because it's just it's ridiculous.
Tastes a little blood in the water there too.
Yeah, man,
kind of keeps you going. So what's life like right now? So you got your EP out. Are you in a place where you are still hidden, living with five roommates, because you're like, okay, the road stuff is still kind of rough? Are you, you know, do you have your family in town? What's your life like?
Yeah. So I got married about 2 years ago.
Congratulations.
Almost 2 years ago. So it's me and my wife. We just added a dog to the mix in the past few months. So I'm starting to kind of, you know, getting a little bit of a groove of being out in the road and coming home. And like today, I've got to mow the lawn and, you know, do the
do all nice. Go do your rock star thing, but then get your butt back here and
need to be taken care of.
Right.
That's right.
The reality of the of what the rock star life really is, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, man.
That's funny. That sounds like you're in a really good place too, where you have some sort of stability that you can go ahead and somebody supportive of you doing what you gotta do. Because I mean, I do want to get into this EP. It's really good, man. It was unexpected because I had so much fun listening to it. Mm-hmm. And right off the bat, even when I put on Wouldn't Put It Past Me, mm-hmm. it was straight rock and roll.
Yeah.
And I was like doing my work within the back. It's one of those songs that, talk to me about the songs on the EP.
Yeah, man. So, I mean, Up From Here, we kick off the project's called Up From Here. So we kick it off with a song called Up From Here, which I wrote with a guy named Tony Lane in 2020. So it's an older song, and it just, over the past couple of years, we've opened our show with it, just me and a guitar. And it just felt right to...
Is that the vision you had for the song when you wrote it? You're like, this is the one that I come out, the lights are kind of dim, it's just me and the guitar.
Oddly enough, man, I actually, when we wrote it, I didn't play the song for like maybe 3 or 4 months, like... Just
why
I kind of forgot about it. It just was one of those songs that it was a ballad, and I think I just forgot about it for a little bit. And then as I was kind of scrolling through at the end of the year, looked back on that song and started playing it. And I was like, this is really, really good. And then jacked the key up like four steps and started singing it. And then I was like, okay, this is really something special. And then at my girlfriend, now wife, a girlfriend at the time, she heard it. She hadn't heard it for those first 3 months. And then she heard it. She was like, this is my favorite song you've written all year. So then I was like, okay, well, she hears something in it. So
you gotta run it by. Do you run all your music by her?
I do. But it's interesting. She knows that if I play something for her, that means
I want her to like it.
Yeah, she knows about that support. She knows that she's like, okay, you must really like this one if you're playing it for me.
You know? That's really funny. But you still want her to be honest at the same time.
Totally.
Right. Totally. She's like, man, I don't want to step on your favorite song right now. But
yeah, she's honest. She is very honest with me. She actually doesn't listen to country music at all, which actually I love because she has such an outsider look at it. So it's fun for me to kind of run songs by her and get her opinion just because she doesn't listen to it. So
yeah, I get that honest opinion. What I love about the EP is I think all the songs have a little bit of a different sound, almost have a different genre of country music in them. And that I think shows a lot of range. I mean, there's the one song, the Holler Back Home,
man. Right? Yeah, Holler Back Home. Yeah,
and that's a straight Morgan Wallen song to me, right? Like that's the kind of vibe you have. But then you have Yesterday's Smoke that gives me this mix of Keith Urban, Morgan, and like a Bailey Zimmerman.
Yeah.
All in one. So you have these different feels that I feel like you're pulling these different inspirations, but they're authentically you at the same time. I don't feel like you're going, how can I imitate these people? You just have depth.
Dude, thank you. Dude, that means the world. Seriously. Dude, it's all about the song. I feel like at the end of the day, I really do want the best song to win. And that group of songs, when we went in to cut them, they just spoke to me. And I was like, this feels like me. It just feels like what I want to do on stage, what I want to say on stage, and the songs that would represent me. So that means a whole lot, man. Thank you.
It's cool because you're playing Carol's Pub on Thursday.
Yeah, man.
And we're recording this on a Monday. And that is one of these places that, yeah, I mean, you could throw a name at the wall and they've probably either played Carol's or Joe's and kind of in that group of play. And it's an incredible place to see live music. And you get to show all of those different voices that you have in a place like that because there's people that are 2 inches from you.
Yeah.
But man, they are all live music lovers. They're not there accidentally.
Yes. Yes.
And so playing those shows on the road have got to be, do you have a dream tour to be on?
Oh man. I think a dream tour. I mean, I grew up loving Al Dean. So Al Dean's a big dream tour to be on. I think Kenny, obviously being on a Kenny Chesney tour is, as you know, that's like a, that's a, that's like a, a legendary
sure
would it be on. So that's up there too. There's a lot of tours, but I think those two are, they have a special place in my heart just because I grew up hearing a lot of that music.
So. Do you think, is there anybody that you'd want to tour with because you want to learn from them more than because you're a fan of them? Not that you wouldn't learn from the other guys, obviously, as well.
Yeah, man, I think, and to go back to Kenny, I just think for how long he's been doing it,
there's a formula, right?
There's a formula there, and I think there's so much to be said for just that show and the consistency of it, and just how it does change, but so much of it he knows how to stay consistent with the show, but also change it up to where you don't quite know what's going to come next, or it switches the set list up, and it's like
I just saw an Instagram from a buddy of mine who flew down to see his opening show for this tour, and he's seen him maybe, I don't know, 1,000 times. Let's say, yeah, he's seen him so many times. And the first thing he said was, set list is totally different.
Yeah.
A lot of the same song, didn't expect them to be played in the same place. Yeah. Something felt new about this thing I've seen a million times.
Yeah, man.
And that's pretty special.
That is, man. I mean, to be doing that, to be doing those stadium shows for, what, 20 plus years, and to just keep people guessing, it still feels very familiar, but, you know, you never quite know it's going to come next. That's special. It's really cool.
Do you do any cover songs in your shows anymore, or is it all originals?
I do. We do quite a few covers. I love, like, a lot of 2000s country, so we throw in a few 2000s country songs in there. So, we kind of break it up. Like, we'll play a couple of originals, and then we'll
what about that rock and roll you grew up on? Do you drop any of that stuff in there?
Man, sometimes we will. there's a song that we put out about a year ago called What Colors Your Wild, and it's kind of got this like Pink Floyd, Boston like feel to it. The chords are really weird. It's kind of got this like 70s rock thing to it. So we'll kind of go into that. We'll do a little like tribute to Pink Floyd kind of in the solo and that. So sometimes we'll do it.
That's cool. Just circle back. I just want just to get a little bit of hint of you, who you are a person. What was high school like? Because you were 14.
Yeah.
And when I was thinking about what you're saying, like you're traveling up to Nashville, you're trying to play music. What does high school look like for you? 14, I guess, is junior high, but as you get, you know,
yeah, man,
grow into that. What does that look like for you on a day to day? Your friends, what were you into? What is life like at that point?
Yeah, man. At that point, so I was homeschooled. I was homeschooled a year before we started coming to Nashville. Mm. So I still had like a ton of my friends in high school back home, but started coming up to Nashville, and we moved to Nashville when I was 17. Yeah, 17. So a lot of the people that I got really close with were, you know, 10 years older than me, like some of my best friends.
This was it. So this is what you were going to do. Like, I mean.
Yeah, man.
You didn't leave much wiggle room there at all. You said, I go to school at home. I'm top of my class because it's only me here in this class.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah, man. That's it.
Are your parents still in Louisiana or are they here with you? In Nashville,
they have a house here. They actually they live on a farm in Mississippi. So they bought a farm a couple years ago, so they live down there. But my brother still lives up here, and we're all super close. So I'll see him sometime.
Is your brother in music too, or no?
No, not at all.
Not at all.
None of them are. We're all very different. They love music, but they don't want anything. They don't want to play it.
It moved to Nashville then.
Dang. So. They felt, so let's see, so when we moved in like 2017, so they felt good. They loved Nashville moving here, so they were all for it. But it's funny, man, like looking back, like they were like the biggest supporters, like my brothers were, like even though they didn't love playing music, they were still always right there. Always making sure, like when I got off stage, like that was good. But if you did this, you know,
I have some notes.
Yeah, I got some notes. You know,
that's very funny. It's fun that they're supportive, and now these are your older brothers or younger brothers?
These are my younger brothers. Yeah.
Younger brothers. Like, my old brother's so cool. I used to call that big kid energy, because my brother was like the most talented guy. And you always felt cool. You're like, yeah, no, that's my brother up there. That's my brother doing that thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, I'm going backstage. No, it's fine.
Yeah.
Dude, you're like a celebrity for them.
It is. Man, it's so cool. Because all my brothers, we're all older now. And, you know, like as a kid, you know, we will fight with each other. And, you know, we're obviously close. But, like, now it's cool because my brothers are, like, my best friends. Now that we're all kind of older. And
isn't that interesting how you grow into that, too? Because my brother became one of my best friends and a mentor of mine. And he was an older brother of mine. But we become so close. But we used to fight like nobody's business before. And then you become an adult and you realize that the things you're going through now, you have a similar perspective because you grew up in this same past, and you can start to go, man, it's almost very therapeutic, because you're like, let's talk about this childhood trauma we didn't know where it was coming from and why we're going through all these things.
Oh, dude.
But they understand you.
They understand you, man. Like, it's like they are my best friends. Like, I mean, it's interesting to watch that sort of shift around, like the being younger, and now, you know, I talk to them every week, you know, about whatever. And
do you play them your new music too?
I do.
And how honest are they with you?
Oh, they're honest. They're honest, man. They're honest. It's got a my 13 or my 14 year old brother, he calls it, it's got to pass the gator test. And that's where, you know, jump on the gator at the farm and ride around, and if it doesn't pass the checking cows test, you know, thing. Like, I had maybe not the one.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, I will say, in Chicago, we would get in a car, an automobile, and play it on a highway. But I guess that makes more sense in Louisiana. You hop on the gator.
Oh, yeah.
Pass the gator test. Right. Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
That makes a lot of sense. So that's fun, man. You're a good dude. You never know, but you could feel a good, positive, fun, nice energy to you. You got this great mustache growing in that, like, feels like it's got some power behind it, right?
You know what? I mean, I hope my wife hears that, because she's ready for it to go. She's ready for it to leave. So I hope she heard that.
Yeah. Put me in between your relationship. That's good strategy. I've been married. You've only been married for 2 years. I've only been married for three, but I already know that is not a good strategy.
It took a second for the stash to kind of grow on her, but you know, she now, I think she's coming around to it, so we'll see.
Is she though?
I don't think any of me. That's probably all in my head.
Because you just tried to get me to take your side against you, right? And we just met. Sounds like you're recruiting. That's fun, man. Well, I'm excited for you to play Carols and experience Chicago a little bit. Well, dude, it's good talking with you, and congratulations. And the EP again is called Up From Here, and it's a good EP. It's a good song. It's rock and roll. There's heartfelt songs in there, and there's songs that you want to hear live.
Yeah, man.
Is what I felt.
Well, that means the world, because that's what we were going for. So thank you. Appreciate
it. Yeah, man. Awesome, dude. Appreciate your time, dude. Peyton.
Scotty, thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Later, buddy.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.